Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast, coming to you from Xfinity Studios at Winter Park. I'm Mike Wobshaw. Producer Nate Vaughn is here, and it's time to talk Vikings and Packers. I know you guys have been talking and reading and listening to about it all week, but we need to do it right here on the Wobcast. If you can't get excited about this game, folks, you can't get excited about anything Vikings related. A division championship game in week 17 for the Vikings and the Packers, two teams who have won more division titles and made more playoff appearances than any other team in the NFC Central or the NFC North, the two names the division has had most prominently over the Vikings span in the NFL, dating back to 1961. Yes, Vikings-Packers for the division in Week 17. It's going to be awesome. A couple of things that we want to hone in on. The Packers' recent struggles. They are 4-5, folks, in their last nine games. Allowed 8 sacks against the Arizona Cardinals a week ago. They've lost to both Chicago and Detroit at home this year, and a loss this week would mean a loss at home to all of their division opponents for the first time in a season since the 1960s. The Packers are banged up on their offensive line, all 5 starters listed on the injury report. They had 2 starters leave the game last week. They had another starter who didn't even dress up. So lots of reasons for there to be doubt about Green Bay being able to defend its division title. They've won the division 4 straight years, folks, going for a 5th consecutive division title. The Vikings trying to win the division for the first time since 2009. But let's also remember, this is the Green Bay Packers. This is Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy, a tandem that has had a hold on this division for the last 4 years and a hold on the Vikings over the last 13, 14, 15 games. The Vikings have beaten the Packers just 1 time since 2009. And if you'll remember, when the Packers beat the Vikings earlier this season, it was the Packers who were on a losing streak. They used the Vikings to get back onto the right track. So don't get too confident, Vikings fans. Your team is playing well. Green Bay is not. But this is going to be an old-fashioned barn burner between these two teams on Sunday night. For the Vikings, both the offense and the defense hitting its stride at the right time. For much of the season, the Vikings, Nate, have played complementary football, right? I mean, you've had the offense has had really good games to lead us to victory. When you think of those games, I think games that come to mind are the last 2, Chicago and the Giants. But don't you think there have been times this season where the defense has really kind of put its foot down and has won games? You think about Kansas City and St. Louis, right? So you've seen this team play complementary football, but it kind of seems like right now the Vikings are a team that all 3 phases, offense, defense, and special teams, kind of hitting its stride.
And even if you look back at some of the games they've lost, but you kind of feel okay about, if you talk about the Denver game, the Arizona game, the Vikings didn't have it all together. The defense played well in Denver, and the defense played well in Arizona. And, you know, the offense actually played pretty well in Arizona, too. Mm-hmm. But now they're starting to put all 3 of those phases together, and you end up with games like beating the pants off Chicago and beating the pants off the New York Giants on Sunday Night Football.
Yep, and I think those 2 games are probably the most complete games we've had. If you look at the Giants game, even I'm going to throw special teams in there as playing really well too. The Vikings dominated the field position battle in that game. Now, you credit the defense for getting off the field on 3rd downs 10 of 11 times. You credit the offense for sustaining drives and scoring points, but the special teams did its work too, allowing only 20 yards per kickoff return and 6 yards per punt return to help the Vikings' average starting field position be the 44-yard line. So, yes, offense, defense, special teams all hitting their stride right now. Vikings coming off perhaps their most complete win of the season against the Giants last week. And it's nice to see because, as we said earlier, throughout the course of the season, we've seen the offense just dominate and win games for us. We've seen the defense dominate and win games for us. But now we're starting to see both of those phases plus special teams work together. Okay, injuries. A lot to talk about here, and that's typical for this time of the season. It's week 17. I mean, everyone's banged up. No one's feeling great. But you take a look at the Packers injury report, and it's long. I think there are 16 players on there, Nate, including all 5 offensive linemen on the injury report. You also have linebacker Mike Neal on the injury report, defensive tackle B.J. Raji, LaTroy Guyon on the injury report, talented corner Casey Hayward, running back Eddie Lacy on the injury report. So the Packers, not unlike most teams, are banged up at this time, but
They appear to be especially banged up. It'll be interesting to see, you know, who's able to suit up for them and who's not able to. Without Brian Bulaga, their right tackle, and without David Bakhtiari, their left tackle, that pass protection really struggled against the Arizona Cardinals. Be interesting to see who can play for Green Bay on Sunday night. The Vikings, not entirely healthy either. Adrian hasn't practiced for most of the week. Linval Joseph has been held out of some action. A couple of other guys have been as well. So that's not out of the ordinary, though. We're at that time of year where injuries are playing a factor. And so we're going to have to watch the injury report and watch the inactives on game day.
All right, we'll move on to a player we should be talking about. And we're going to talk about him, so defeating kind of the purpose of the whole segment. But right. We're going to talk about number 34, Andrew Sendejo. Missed a few games in the middle of the season, and if I told you at the beginning of the season that missing Andrew Sendejo would really kind of set this defense back, you would have been like, are you sure? Mm-hmm. But he's played well this year. You've noticed when he's gone, and it's great to have him back.
Yeah, I think with Sendejo, the big deal is when it's him and Harrison back there, now it's the tandem that has been playing and practicing together since all the way back to training camp. You know, because Sendejo won that job kind of coming out of the offseason program going into training camp in the preseason, but he was always kind of running with the ones. And so I think there's some real continuity there between the two safeties. They know what each other is going to do. And you know, Andrew is a veteran. He's seen a lot of things. He's been with a few different teams. And I think that's an advantage for him and Mike Zimmer's defense. The communication is good. And I'm not saying that Andrew Sendejo is a world beater or he's a guy that no one's going to be able to beat out for the job. But I am giving Andrew a lot of credit for being able to hold down that starting job and for playing the way he's able to play. He compliments Harrison Smith very well. And he was in the right spot at the right time last week and got an interception of Eli Manning very early in the game. That wasn't an interception that happened at the end of the game that didn't matter, that was inconsequential. That was an interception very early in the game and was a big part of the game for the Vikings.
One thing, too, it's been kind of a theme for the entire defense this year, but one thing Sendejo doesn't really do is miss tackles.
Right.
Like, if he gets to a guy, he's going to tackle him wherever he is on the field.
Yeah, and he had a missed tackle late in the game against the Giants, but I think that's more of an anomaly than it is anything else. You know, and I think a big reason for that is he cut his teeth in the NFL on special teams, so he's used to pursuing running downhill and having to make tackles. I mean, you don't cut your teeth and become a good special teams player if you're a shoddy tackler. And Sendejo is not a shoddy tackler. He's not perfect. He missed tackles like anyone else. But, you know, I just, on a defense that has Barr and has a nice rookie in Kendricks, and Terrence Newman was a great free agent signing, and Xavier Rhodes is an up and comer, and Harrison Smith's a stud, you got to get by with guys that aren't household names, guys that don't go to the Pro Bowl. And the Vikings have gotten by very well with Andrew Sendejo as a starting safety for a team that's in the top 10 in a lot of major statistical categories on defense, including points allowed. Andrew Sendejo, got to give him a lot of credit. So a very good selection by you, Nate, on the player we should be talking about. All right, a guy who talks about a lot of players is Al Michaels, and he had a conversation with another guy who talks about a lot of Vikings players, Paul Allen, on PA's weekday radio show 9 to noon on KFAN. Al Michaels, one of the greatest announcers and certainly one of the most accomplished announcers of all time. He joined PA's show earlier in the week. Al and PA talked about Al's buddy, Norv Turner, about the New York Giants game that Al called for NBC on Sunday Night Football, about the Vikings-Packers upcoming game that Al will call on Sunday Night Football, and a bunch of other really cool stuff. It was a great interview on PA's show, and here it is.
Al Michaels is on the 9 to noon show. What did you think of the Vikings when you were in Minneapolis last Sunday, Al?
Well, not much to not like about the Vikings, because they played extremely well, obviously. The Giants were flat. Their season was over. It had ended the night before in the Washington-Philadelphia game. But, you know, I just like the way the Vikings have come together here. Number one, as you know, and, you know, you do all the games, so I don't have to tell you, but if you have a guy who's going to lead the league in rushing, I mean, right off the bat, you're in pretty good shape. Because you have a running game, and everybody knows, you know, you really need a running game to get to where you want to get, unless you have an unbelievable quarterback like, you know, Aaron Rodgers or somebody like that, then you can get away with it. But I think I love the way Bridgewater's come along. I think Norv Turner is the perfect guy to run that offense. I mean, Norv's been terrific over the years in play calling. He's doing it again. We've seen what Mike Zimmer has done, not only as the head coach, but obviously with that defensive pedigree to come in there and to have the improvement that we saw with the Vikings last year defensively from 2013 to 2014. Special teams are good. You got a guy like McKinnon who can give Peterson a little rest and all of that. So I find this to be, you know, a pretty fascinating game coming up on Sunday night, as you know all too well. I mean, the Vikings were red hot. Here come the Packers, who are slumping, you know, about 6 weeks ago, and the Packers blow them out. But, you know, in the NFL, that doesn't mean a lot. I mean, two teams can face each other within a six-week period and have a totally opposite result. So I'm sure the Vikings are hoping for that, and I think it's going to be a hell of a game on Sunday night.
You have known offensive coordinator Norv Turner quite some time, right?
Oh, yes, many, many years.
Well, I called Norv Turner this morning and asked him to share a story with me about you, and here it is.
Well, Paul, we're speaking about Al Michaels, and obviously everyone knows his legendary call in the Olympics and the Winter Olympics, and obviously his great history with Monday night and now Sunday night football. But my exposure to him goes back a little further than that. When I was in the Bay Area, I grew up in the East Bay and was a big San Francisco Giants fan in the mid-70s. I was introduced to Al Michaels as the play-by-play announcer for the San Francisco Giants. So probably 10 years later or whenever I first met him on the field before a Monday night game, I mentioned this to him, told him that I was a longtime Giant fan, having grown up there. And it seemed like every time we had a Monday night game, he and I would talk about the Giants and the great cast of players they had before we'd ever talk about football. So Al and I do go way back.
Do you have any Norv stories, Al?
Well, Norv must have been 10 years old when he was listening to me do the Giants, because I was pretty young myself at the time. No, we used to talk about the Giants. You know, the thing with Norv, people forget. I mean, he was the Washington Redskins head coach so many years ago. And, in fact, I did a playoff game where Norv was the coach, and they beat Detroit. This was in 1999. Dan Snyder had just bought the team. It's funny because Barry Sanders had retired the year before, and Bobby Ross had taken over, but they didn't miss Sanders to the extent that they were still able to make the playoffs that year. So I think back to doing one of Norv's games, a win for Washington. Now they're back in the playoffs again, but since that game, you know, it's hard to believe the Redskins have only won one playoff game since Norv beat Detroit in 99. That's when Joe Gibbs was there, and he knocked off Tampa Bay in a wild card game. I think it was in 05 or 06. So we go all the way back, and, of course, I've seen, you know, as the head coach at San Diego, as the head coach at Oakland, so a really good guy, and a guy who likes to recommend restaurants once in a while. He called me last week, but he wanted me to try, I think it was the Spoon and Saddle.
Spoon and Stable.
Spoon and Stable. We couldn't get there because we could walk over to Manny's, so we opted for the shorter trip.
You and Chris Collinsworth have the Lambeau game Sunday night. You live in Southern California and get frozen conditions 2 weeks in a row. Lucky you, right?
Hey, maybe three. You never know, because, you know, we could conceivably, we're in the wild card round too, and who knows, we could be in Minnesota or Green Bay. And
yeah.
And then I'll I'll probably wrap up the year at the North Pole or someplace.
Well, Collinsworth played in that AFC title game in 1982 at Riverfront when the wind chill was minus 56. So he doesn't mind the cold, right?
Well, I'm not sure he doesn't mind the cold. Remember, Chris is a Florida guy. Chris grew up near a Cape Canaveral in Florida. So he talks about that game, but, you know, that's a distant memory. We go in there. Hey, thank God the other night, Paul, that the wind really wasn't blowing. Be a son enough to tell you. You live there and you know what the conditions are like. If the wind starts to blow, that's a whole other issue. But, hey, I'm feeling as if I'm going to the tropics on this Sunday night. It looks like it's going to be like 25 in Green Bay. It's really warming up.
Yeah, this one will be right up your alley. Sunday night, Vikings in Green Bay. Do you think the game will be overwhelming or underwhelming?
You know, I haven't even looked at the number yet. What is that number for this game?
What do I look like, Roxy Roxborough? I have no idea.
I think I haven't looked at the line, but I'm guessing that the Packers are probably favored by three and a half.
Yeah.
But I would guess, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or even they give them Lambeau Field advantage. And the over-under for this game, you know, without looking at it, I'm going to guess it's going to be about 45?
All I'm going to say is they're going to run, and we're going to run, and both teams are going to try to stay healthy, and the clock's going to run.
And you're going to get me arrested before this is over.
Al Michaels of NBC's Football Night in America, Sundays. He'll be calling the game with Chris Collinsworth on Channel 11 this week.
Okay, that was part of the interview to catch the whole thing where they talk about lots of other stuff, not necessarily related to the Vikings, some of Al Michaels' history, some of the great events that he's called. Go to KFAN.com. You can download it there and listen to it. Okay, NFL Network preview, Nate. Ike Taylor, a little bullish on the Vikings. He likes the Vikings in this Vikings-Packers Week 17 battle for the division. Let's hear what he has to say.
Steve Weissman, Ike Taylor with you together. We have two Super Bowl rings between us.
Sure do.
That's right.
Sure do.
It doesn't get bigger than this. Green Bay, Minnesota. We've got the NFC North title on the line. We have a first-round home game on the line. Sunday night, national audience. Maybe it's the biggest game of the week. What do the Vikings need to do to win?
Oh, the Vikings got to lean on Adrian Peterson, AP, a.k.a. all day, a.k.a. man, they thought he lost it because he sat out a year, a.k.a. man, hey, I'm still tops in NFL and running, a.k.a. don't nobody want to see me one-on-one. This guy here has been their offense. It has been their offense. He's been a breadwinner. He's been a go-to guy. He's been the talent. He's been Mr. Minnesota. AP, go to AP. Don't lean on a running game. Put all your weight on the running game. Give the man the ball.
How much does his running style affect the defense?
A lot, because he's that threat. You know how you look at an offense and you think the receiver is the threat? Because usually top receivers can be that big play kind of guy. He does that at the running back position. He's that big play kind of guy, Adrian Peterson.
AKA, he has more rushing yards against the Packers than any other team in his career. On the other side, what does Green Bay need to do?
They got to slow the offense down. I think Aaron Rodgers has been taking too many hits, especially the Arizona game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the man got hit 12 times, got sacked eight times.
Had
a rough one. He was seeing ghosts. You know what I'm saying? But that's what happens. That's what happens when you get hit a lot, man. It takes a toll on you. Start handing the ball off. Yeah, we respect A-Rod for throwing passes, being very accurate, being highly underrated with his mobility. But it's coming towards the end of the year, and you still need a healthy A-Rod going into the postseason. Hand the ball off a little bit more.
6 weeks ago, these teams played each other. The Vikings had won five straight. The Packers had lost three straight. Of course, the Packers crushed them. Who wins this week?
The Vikings.
Vikings. Wow.
I'm going to go with the Vikings. You know why? Their defense has been stout in the month of December. And the Packers' offense in the month of December has been too inconsistent.
Okay. Both teams making the playoffs, but you're saying the Vikings will be the NFC North champions.
I did say that.
All right. Thank you very much, Ike. We agree with you and are grateful for your opinion.
Yes. Thank you, Ike. We like you. We like Ike.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's good.
Thank you.
Moving on to something that we also like. Three threats.
Mm-hmm.
Or don't like, I guess.
Well, we don't like the threats, but we like this segment because we need to educate ourselves and everyone else on, you know, good players for the opposing team.
Right, one of those good players, Mason Crosby,
mm-hmm.
having a good season, had a great game against us week 11 here in Minneapolis, was 5 of 5 on field goals. Blair Walsh was 5 of 5 last week, but Mason Crosby definitely a guy that we're going to have to deal with this week.
Yeah, and in division games that oftentimes are close and come down to the wire, kickers are very important. And, you know, it won't surprise me if Mason Crosby factors into this game, just like we think Blair Walsh is going to factor into this game. So Crosby, very good, and he's got a big leg. He can, you know, it's going to be cold, and it's going to be at night. We might have some precipitation. We might not. But either way, the kicking conditions will not be ideal, but Mason Crosby has a big leg, and he can grind through it. So definitely in a division game that should be close, Mason Crosby is going to be a threat.
Lining up on defense for the Green Bay Packers, you know, they have Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, studs like that. But one guy that's starting to get a little more recognition, partly because he just got paid halfway through the season,
mm-hmm.
is Mike Daniels on the defensive line. It's not a position that you get a lot of stats that you can look at, but he's really screwing things up for a lot of offensive lines that they play.
He was the best defensive player for the Packers in the Week 11 Vikings-Packers game here at TCF Bank Stadium. He was the best player on the field on the Packers defense, gave our offensive line and running game fits. And we're going to have to watch out for him. He did get paid, but that's not going to make him become lackadaisical or complacent. He's earned that money. He's a good player. He's got a high motor. And you know what? Sometimes he's not making the splashy plays. And we know how impactful a defensive tackle can be because we have Linval Joseph. But sometimes this guy does make splashy plays. So I think defensively, controlling and neutralizing Mike Daniels, that's as important a thing as any other thing in this game for the Vikings.
And finally, we got to look at the quarterback on the other side of the field, Aaron Rodgers. Kind of off season for him so far this year. Really
by his
rough
standards.
Yeah. Rough game, certainly last week against Arizona, but I mean, all you have to do is look at the game at Detroit. He can have an awful game and then throw a Hail Mary and beat you.
Three things on Aaron Rodgers. Number one, I don't think he's playing poorly or below his standard. I think what's gone on around him has not been up to the Packers' standard. Some of the offensive line things, although they've been a little bit better, the receivers certainly have not been as good as they normally are with Aaron Rodgers. And they're getting used to a new play caller because for most of the season, Mike McCarthy did not call plays. Tom Clements was calling plays. McCarthy has subsequently taken over those duties. But I think all those things combine to kind of make it look like Rodgers isn't having as good of a season as he's used to having. But I think when you just really drill down and watch just him, he's still Aaron Rodgers. He's still one of the best in the game, and he's still sharp. Secondly, you got to contain Aaron Rodgers. Keep him in the pocket. I know that, like with Eli Manning, we wanted to move him off the spot. We wanted to get him on the move. And with a lot of other quarterbacks, you want to do that. I remember you wanted to do that with Kurt Warner. You want to do that with Philip Rivers. You don't want to do that with Aaron Rodgers because he's dangerous throwing on the run. He can buy time, and he keeps his head down the field and makes plays down the field. So you want to keep him in the pocket and pressure him that way. And lastly, with Aaron Rodgers, he's really good at, A, the hard count, and when he gets you to jump, he'll throw it deep on you. And B, he's very good at, on third downs when nothing is there, he doesn't just always throw it out of bounds. He will throw it down the field like a quasi-punt and hope that there's some sort of defensive holding, illegal hands of the face, pass interference, something like that, and they get first downs that way. In fact, Green Bay has 43 offensive first downs by way of opponent penalties. So Green Bay very good at drawing penalties, particularly on third downs, and that's because Aaron Rodgers is very aware and is a very heady player. So obviously the top threat on the Green Bay Packers is quarterback Aaron Rodgers.
One of those interesting things that you mentioned that Rodgers does really well is drawing the defense offsides and then taking advantage of that free play, basically, to throw it downfield and see what can happen. That is what Monty is asking about in our fan question this week.
Okay.
Hey, Wobby, have you noticed that every time Teddy uses the hard count and gets the defense to jump in the neutral zone, that it always ends up being a running play that's run? Why not take a deep shot and take that chance and look for another flag or a big play on a free play like Aaron Rodgers does?
Well, here's the deal. The reason, like, the play is called, so you're at the line of scrimmage and the play has been called. When you use the hard count and get the defense to jump off sides, you can't change the play at that point in time. You know, I mean, you can change the play, but by the time you change it, they will have gotten back onside, and now you don't have that free play. So that's why Teddy doesn't take deep shots when the defense jumps off sides. It's not because he doesn't think of it. It's because we've had a running play called. Now, why the defense is jumping off sides on running plays but seems to never jump off sides on passing plays, I don't know that. Maybe it's because we run more than other teams, and like Green Bay passes more than other teams, so that's why, like, Rodgers, when he gets teams to jump off sides, he happens to be throwing the ball on that down. You can't change the play there. If the running play is called in the huddle and you get them to jump off sides, you got to still run a running play. You don't have time to change the play. So that's why. Now, the key here, now it's not it's an interesting question by Monty, because it's not incumbent on Teddy to take deep shots when they jump off sides because the running play has already been called. It's incumbent on the Vikings and Teddy to get the defense to jump off sides on a passing play. They are using the hard count on passing plays, but they're just not jumping. So what can we do as an offense to get teams to jump off sides when we have a passing play called? I'm sure there are things the offensive staff can look at to make that happen. But that's why you don't see Teddy take deep shots. It's not because he doesn't think of it. It's because a running play has been called, and you can't change the play and still catch the team off sides.
All right, we'll move on to some over-unders. The first over-under we're going to actually take from PA and Al Michaels' interview earlier. They briefly mentioned what they thought maybe the over-under in the game would be at 45. So we'll put the over-under at 44.5, and you tell me, will there be more or less total points than that in this game.
I'm going to go over on this. And I think both Green Bay's and the Vikings defense can step up and can be very stingy, particularly the Vikings, who have a top 10 scoring defense. But we are going against Aaron Rodgers at home against, you know, an offense that's led by Rodgers and is being called by McCarthy that is going to be motivated to play very well after a dud showing last week. I think the Vikings offense is going to be up to the challenge of stepping up to the plate and matching Green Bay and scoring. And I think Green Bay is going to have a tough time slowing down Adrian Peterson. So I think the scoreboard is going to get lit up a little bit here. I hope I'm wrong in that I hope the Vikings defense can shut down this Green Bay Packers offense enough to keep this game total under 44.5. I'll take the over on this. I think it's going to be a fun game. I think both teams are going to be able to score, and I think it's going to be an exciting game that goes down to the wire.
If we have a game like last week, we'll take care of the over just
by ourselves. And that would be great. I hope I'm wrong in how it gets there, but I do think it's going to go over.
All right, the second we're going to look at is field goals made. We talked about it earlier. Blair Walsh, 5 of 5 last week, and Mason Crosby was 5 of 5 earlier when they played here in week 11.
Yeah.
That's a lot of field goals.
Yep.
We'll put the over under at 4.5 total field goals made. So 4.5, more or less.
My initial reaction was to say under, but as I think about it, I'm going to go over on this one.
Tell me why.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head. They're both playing well right now. They're both accurate guys. Mason will be kicking at home. Blair's field goal percentage this year is 86.5, which is higher than his career average. So he's really rebounded from a lackluster preseason, shall we say. And he's kicking very well right now. I think both coaches are confident in their kickers. And I think this game is going to come down to a field goal. I shouldn't say I think it's going to, but it won't surprise me if it does, given it's a division game against two good teams. So I'm over on this because I think you're going to see at least one very early in the game, and I think you're going to see at least one late in the game. And it wouldn't surprise me if a team got one right before halftime, toss in another field goal or two in the middle of the second or third quarters, and I think this one's going over.
Finally, for the third over-under, as you know, Adrian Peterson has two NFL rushing titles to his name right now in his career. If the season ended today, which it doesn't, he would win a third rushing title. So let's put the over-under at 2.5 career rushing titles for Adrian Peterson following the 2015 season. Over or under 2.5?
Over.
Over. So that means what?
That means that Adrian Peterson is going to win the rushing title this season. And here's the cool part about it, Nate. He's probably, unless the Carolina Panthers just shut down Doug Martin totally, Adrian's probably going to enter the game second behind Doug Martin. Because Adrian's lead is 64 yards. I think that Doug can go over 64 yards rushing against the Carolina Panthers. That game will have happened earlier in the day. I believe they kick off at 3:30 or 3:15. So I believe that Adrian will go into this game trailing Doug Martin in the rushing title chase, and I think Adrian will surpass him and surpass him easily throughout this game because I think Adrian is sitting on a big performance against these Green Bay Packers.
All right, we'll move on and take a look at the playoff picture. The way things sit right now, in the NFC, at least. Let's only focus on the NFC because did you know that's the conference we play in?
we are in the NFC.
The number one seed right now, the Carolina Panthers, although they just lost last week for the first time all season, 14-1, as you said, playing against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The two seed, the Arizona Cardinals, playing against your current number six seed, Seattle Seahawks. So a big game, not so much in who gets into the playoffs, but for playoff positioning, those two games right there. Three seed Packers, we know who they play this week. Four seed Redskins, and then, like I said, 5 and 6 are your Vikings and Seattle Seahawks. So that's the way things are right now. Chances are that's probably going to change a little bit. What could change in those seeds in the NFC?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Everything can change except the Redskins at number four. So that means that if the Arizona Cardinals beat the Seahawks and the Panthers drop one to Tampa Bay, in 2 weeks' time, the Carolina Panthers will have gone from a 14-0 team to the number two seed in the NFC. That would be a crazy turnaround, but it could happen. If the Panthers lose and the Cardinals win, those two teams would flip-flop. The Cardinals would have the first seed and Carolina would be the second seed. Obviously, the three seed can change. Green Bay is in there right now by virtue of having the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Vikings, but that can, of course, change. If the Vikings win on Sunday night, the Vikings would be the three seed and the Packers would be the five seed, so that can change. The four seed cannot change. The Washington Redskins will be the four seed in the NFC playoffs, and they will host a playoff game on Wild Card Weekend. The Vikings are in the fifth seed. We've already explained how that can change by beating the Green Bay Packers. They will move up to the third seed. The Packers would drop to the fifth seed. And the Seahawks can change because if the Vikings lose, then the Green Bay will remain the three seed. And if the Seahawks win earlier in the day, the Seahawks would then jump the Vikings because the Vikings and Seahawks would have the same record. Seahawks would have the head-to-head tiebreaker. So the Seahawks would leapfrog the Vikings, be the five seed, go and play the Redskins, and then the Vikings would travel to the Packers. So that's how the playoffs shape up. Here are the scenarios again to review. Very simple. Three different scenarios can happen. If the Vikings win, no matter what else happens, they will host the Seahawks on Wild Card Weekend. If the Vikings lose, it's all based on what Seattle does. If the Vikings lose and the Seahawks lose, the Vikings go to Washington. If the Vikings lose and the Seahawks win, the Vikings go to Lambeau. Three scenarios that can happen. Three different teams that the Vikings could play. The only scenario, though, if the Vikings win is they host the Seattle Seahawks. As for teams to root for this weekend, I think you put it very well on the outline, Nate. The Vikings. Let's just win the North. No other teams to root for. It's been a cool segment. The second half of the season, kind of look scoreboard watching, checking out, you know, who do we want to root for? What's a favorable scenario? How do we want to do this? How do we want to do that? Forget all that, man. You gotta win this game, win the division, take the Packers off their perch, get a home playoff game on Wild Card Weekend. That would be a ton of fun.
So, whether we win the North or not, the three teams we could play in the playoffs are Green Bay, Seattle, and mm-hmm. Washington.
Yes.
We'll start with Green Bay. I want you, Wabi, to tell me mm-hmm. why the Green Bay Packers don't stand a chance against us in the playoffs.
Well, Nate, here's the deal. For the Green Bay Packers to play the Vikings on Wild Card Weekend, they will have had to have defeated the Vikings in Week 17. So the Green Bay Packers don't want to play the Vikings on Wild Card Weekend because that means they will have to beat us two straight times at Lambeau Field, and I don't think they want to do that. I think once they beat us, they would like to move on to someone else. Not the case. If they beat us, they might have to play us again the following week at Lambeau Field. That's why Green Bay doesn't want to see us.
So we'll beat Green Bay in the playoffs. What about Seattle? Why doesn't Seattle stand a chance against us?
Well, we're happy for Seattle's big victory over us earlier in the season. Way to go, guys. But we're going to be full strength this time, okay? Seattle, we're going to have Harrison Smith. We're going to have Anthony Barr. They're not going to leave the game in the first quarter, and we're going to have Linval Joseph. We're going to stand a much better chance. We're going to win the field position battle. We're going to score points, and we're going to win that game. So you're going to have to deal with Harrison Smith and Anthony Barr all game long. That's why Seattle doesn't want to play us.
Finally, Washington. Why should Washington think they can go into their stadium, host a playoff game, and walk away victorious? Why would they think that?
Mike Zimmer is not going to let Jay Gruden beat him in a playoff game, okay? Jay Gruden, obviously a great coaching job with the Washington Redskins. Peter King of the Monday Morning Quarterback had a great opinion earlier in the week. He said that Jay Gruden may have made the coaching move of the year when he decided to go with Kirk Cousins over Robert Griffin III. At the time, a controversial decision, but in hindsight, a very good decision to go with Kirk Cousins got them to the playoffs. Mike Zimmer, though, coached with Jay Gruden on the Cincinnati Bengals coaching staff. Jay Gruden, talented coach. He's 48 years old and has a head coaching job. He started in the NFL in 2002. Mike Zimmer is 59, 11 years older than Jay Gruden. Had to wait way longer than Jay Gruden to get a head coaching job. So Mike Zimmer is going to make Jay Gruden pay for that in a playoff game. No way he's letting Jay Gruden beat him on Wild Card Weekend.
So there you go, Vikings fans. This weekend, whatever happens, happens. But once we get in the playoffs, we can't lose.
Right. Did I make compelling cases?
Yeah, I believe you.
Mostly in jest there. We're not seriously trash-talking those other teams. We're just, you know, having a good time.
Now I'm not only excited for this game, Wild Card Weekend, but also the divisional round of the playoffs.
Well, I think that's an important point to make is this is obviously a huge game and it's for the division. And I know it's a border rival and bragging rights within fan bases, within friend and peer groups, and within family sometimes are at stake when the Vikings and Packers play, especially for the division. But I caution Vikings fans, win or lose, Monday morning is not the time to get loud about what happened in the game. If the Vikings win, it's not time to go on Facebook and trash talk your neighbors or your friends or your family about beating the Packers and winning the division. Save that for the offseason, because the very next week we got a playoff game. You don't want to be the team that wins the division, trash talks, and then loses in wild card round while the team you beat to win the division wins in the wild card round because they get the last lap. We don't want to be that team. So Monday morning, we're focused on wild card weekend, nothing else. Once the offseason gets here, then we can start bragging about having won the division over the Green Bay Packers. Fair?
Sounds good.
All right, cool.
But that divisional banner is going to look great in the field house.
It is. We need another one up in there. You know, Zimmer wants one, man. He's been talking about it. He said, well, we want to hang a banner, you know. Love hearing that. That's awesome. All right, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Wobcast. Vikings-Packers on Sunday Night Football, folks. Kickoff right around 7:30 p.m. Central Time on Sunday night. The Vikings Radio Network team will be there. Paul Allen, Pete Bursich, and Greg Coleman will bring you the action, so we encourage you to check out the game that way. If you choose not to, the game will be on NBC's Sunday Night Football. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. This edition of the Wobcast is over, but we're back early next week with a playoff edition of the Wobcast. Until then, have a great weekend, everyone. Happy New Year. So, yeah, I start with